Welcome to the new release time for Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. The latest episodes now on Fridays for weekend date night listening to help couples keep it hot.
Hello again and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at foreplayrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@foreplayrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic.
Hey, Lori.
Good morning.
It's another time in the podcast closet. Back at it. And so we are talking about sexual perfectionism this morning. So are there different things that you are perfectionistic about? Or do you consider yourself a perfectionist?
I consider myself driven.
Right.
I wish I were a little more perfectionistic about housekeeping and things like that. But so I'm not terribly organized, and I kind of live with that. I probably have a bit of ADD. But in terms of how I want things done in my company, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm very demanding. I mean, I stay up late. I work really hard. You know, I have my finger in different pies. You know, it's like there's a lot that I'm doing that, I mean, most people would say that's essentially a perfectionism. You know, I'm pretty demanding.
So your expectations are high.
My expectations are pretty high. I'm a supervisor for clinicians, and so I demand a lot. You know, I make them give me the family of origin stuff for the couple. I make them give me dialogue. You know, how did you say it to that guy that made him get so defensive? And then I'll actually tweak it with my supervisees, and I'll say, no, you actually should have said this. So when it comes to clinical work, I'm really demanding, really perfectionistic, especially for my people. I don't know if they feel that. But
see, I would have thought you would have said that you're perfectionistic about your teeth, because I know your teeth are I know your teeth are important to you.
I dental floss every day, Adam.
Yes. Yeah, you'd be proud of me. I now started flossing because of you. But it didn't help. I had to have dental surgery this weekend, in which they pulled my back teeth.
Oh well, your wisdom teeth. That's
and the molar. I now have no teeth. At this rate, I'm losing teeth. At this rate, by the time I'm 50, I will have a full set of fake.
It's because you didn't dental floss.
They actually said I had nothing to do with it. I couldn't avoid it. So there, take that. All of my flossing would not have helped this.
But you know what? Your wife is going to think you're markedly more attractive because you're dental flossing.
maybe. I think so. I should be more perfectionistic about that.
You know, because of the guy who called in, and I think it was our buddy who thought flossing was so gross.
Right.
You know, now whenever I'm flossing, my husband walks in the bathroom, I'm like self-conscious.
You're conscious about flossing.
I'm like, and he's like, just don't throw it in the toilet. You have to throw it in the trash because it'll clog up the sewers. I'm like, what? Okay. It only goes in the trash, but, you know.
Well, I should be more perfectionistic about my teeth, but I would consider myself a recovering perfectionist.
You know, I can barely see anymore. You know, I have to have reading glasses. I'm that age. But I can always see plaque on
you can
a person's
always see plaque.
Teeth. Yep.
I still don't believe that. I don't believe that because there's no way I can see that. But we're talking about sexual perfectionism today.
Okay.
All right. Perfectionism basically is just having a huge high standard, right, that you're achieving. Mm-hmm. And that's that standard, whatever it is, that you consider to be perfect, is the one that you have to meet, or else anxiety goes up. You get a sense of having to be you're out of control if you're not achieving that perfectionistic standard, right? And in sex, it can come out in a lot of different ways, right? When you have sexual perfectionism, it comes out as a lot of different things, such as frequency, right? That's probably one of the things. If you're not having sex X number of times, then something is wrong.
Right, and I hear people all the time who say, you know, I don't want to just have ordinary sex. I don't want to have any of that run-of-the-mill sex. I want to have an extraordinary experience every time. I mean, why should we not? We're in bed. We should do it. It should be beautiful. It should be really exciting. I mean, why would we waste this moment instead of it being really filled with variety and excitement? Why would we waste it and just do something that's run-of-the-mill? Yeah.
So sex should always be adventurous, right?
Yeah.
That's another perfectionistic standard you could have.
Yeah.
Variety of techniques, variety of positions, right?
They are not as
swinging from,
as I am.
swinging from the chandeliers, right? If you still have chandeliers. Do people still have chandeliers?
You know what? It's coming back.
Is it coming back?
Yeah. All it's right. like the way to make something romantic in
right.
any room.
Right. So now you can swing from them again.
Yeah.
You could also be, we've talked about this before, that orgasm becomes the standard, mm-hmm. the perfect standard, mm-hmm. that you have to have an orgasm every time, or that you even both have to have an orgasm, or that you have to orgasm together.
Yeah.
Right? Those standards become
orgasming
pretty,
together. Yeah, that's a big one.
It becomes the perfect
standard.
How
can we time it so that we're in ecstasy at the same moment?
Mm. And then also just, I think, and this affects men and women probably differently, but how you look, right, becomes,
oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the obvious one that becomes a perfectionistic standard that
so
may get in the way of, yeah, absolutely.
So interruptive because, you know, minimally we age, so nobody stays young forever. And, you know, even if you're in great shape, I mean, there's so many people out there who feel so bad about their bodies that they can't relax and enjoy that terrific, wonderful sex.
Right. that swinging from the chandelier
yeah,
sex.
Exactly.
Suddenly I want a chandelier. I don't know why.
Well, you can also like hang ropes from it and, you know.
Nice. I'm going to have to reinforce that chandelier, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So how do you see, Lori, in the couples that you see, what are the damage that sexual perfectionism can cause in couples in particular? Like, how does it come out?
You know, I think that the main thing is that people, first of all, they're comparing themselves to this unrealistic standard.
Right.
And so they feel such disappointment. And it can really rock their world. They can start to say, well, maybe I chose the wrong person. You know, maybe we're never going to be sexually compatible. There's all this disappointment that starts to evolve when the standard is too high. And then that's, of course, this terrible cycle. They're disappointed. So their partner starts to experience them as critical. It becomes pressuring. They can't enjoy the moment that happens. You know, God forbid their partner doesn't orgasm once.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, you didn't, you know, it was good, but you didn't climax, you didn't come. So, you know, that's not really up to snuff. And so that doesn't even count. And this can be a really vicious cycle.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it just feeds on itself, right? Mm-hmm. And just it just deepens what happens. I see this come out a lot in just the sense that it colors everything else, right? So they tend, when you're sexually perfectionistic, you tend to only remember the failures and not the successes, right?
That is so true. They're looking for what's wrong.
Yeah, you're looking for where is the flaw that didn't make it perfect, right? Mm-hmm. And so you don't see the good that is happening,
mm-hmm.
right? Perhaps maybe the foreplay was really good, and mm-hmm. but because you didn't orgasm, then all of a sudden the whole sexual experience is ruined. Or it was.
Or you're just naked together. Come on.
Yeah. So you lose so much momentum in not seeing it as an evolving thing that it has to be perfect every time. And then what I think is, I think it then keeps you from taking risk in the future. So then you just stop. You stop taking chances, right?
Mm-hmm.
You maybe stop initiating, or you start withdrawing,
mm-hmm.
Because you're not willing to take the chance that it might not be perfect or might not be up to snuff.
Right. I talked to a guy this week who has premature ejaculation, but his wife doesn't climax that way. And she's told him for the last 4 years, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
And he won't believe her.
No. And I finally had to get through to him. I'm like, look at. Dude, it doesn't matter. That's not the way she climaxes. She enjoys you being inside her. She likes it. But enjoy it. Okay, so you climax fast. But, I mean, what he was doing, Adam, was he was thinking it was a bad experience. I mean, he had this false projection that said, she's thinking I'm a bad lover. And that was not it. So his withdrawal, his anxiety, that's what actually made him a bad lover, was he wasn't really present because he was so anxious.
Yeah, and it probably just kept him stuck.
It did.
Right?
It kept him stuck.
Completely stuck, and kept him from moving, and kept him from seeing the good that was in his relationship.
Yeah, and for the record, that you know, that anxiety adds to premature ejaculation. It makes it worse.
Oh, yeah. You know? It just feeds itself.
Yeah, perfectionism can actually cause sexual dysfunction.
Mm. I think it can also cause some depression, too,
as
well. I think it could come out, like, eventually, if you feel like you are continually failing to meet a standard, a self-imposed standard, then you're going to end up looking like either not having depression or having depressive symptoms that come out, mm-hmm. right?
And I think it's, you know, at some level it can be controlling.
Oh.
And I think this is where it really becomes a little more toxic.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, your partner has these expectations and that it has to be this way all the time. I know we're going to lose listeners today.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to lose listeners who say, oh, forget about it. You know, foreplay, radio, sex therapy, they think that, you know, that we can't have this standard, that we shouldn't even shoot for it. But what we're saying is the standard is interruptive to pleasure.
Yes.
It's interruptive to connection.
That's right.
And this is a problem.
And it emerges that way because you then try to control everything that you really can't control, right? Control is an illusion,
mm-hmm.
right? And I know people, like, they know this mentally, but they don't know it emotionally, that they cannot control everything. So especially in your relationship, things are going to happen, right? Things are going to go wrong. Things are going to be not exactly right at the right time. It may not be exactly as romantic as you planned it. And the perfect time may not ever emerge with their sexual experience, with how romantic it is, with what positions they're able to do, with how adventurous it is, frequency, all those things, they are going to go wrong. And if you're trying to control them, right, it's only going to increase your anxiety and it's going to increase the anxiety in your partner. And it's going to end up being really limiting to your sex life.
Yeah. And I think that sometimes people's deeper dysfunction about controlling and anxiety start to contaminate the sex life. It's not really that they're just controlling about the sexual experience. It's that they have deeper issues to control, period.
Yeah.
And I mean, that really needs to be explored. I mean, my own theory is naked time is good time.
Anytime you're naked is a good
time. Great time. So let's come back after the break and talk a little bit more about, you know, what happens, what this causes, and what are the concerns and when to get help.
Exactly. Sounds good.
So, Adam, we're going to do a new thing. We are going to offer a link to Patreon on Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy, which is foreplayrst.com, for people who are really interested in helping us develop deeper, you know, more interesting podcasts and also offer resources to them.
Yeah, Patreon is a platform where you can directly support things that you love. We know that several of you have been real supportive of us, and we hope you would consider being financially supportive as well.
Right, because we're running practices and families, and we need time really to do more, something like a webinar. We'd like to do some worksheets for you.
We really want to expand the resources that we can be able to provide to you as our listeners, dive deeper into the questions you have, offer more practical steps for you to have the best possible relationship.
So we're looking for some patrons. We appreciate already the love, the emails that you send. All of that is great. So if you love listening to us, you can find out how to support us by going to our website, foreplayrst.com. Thank you so much for considering that. We appreciate it.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
Hi, I'm Dr. Adam Matthews, and I want to welcome you to Matthews Counseling. At Matthews Counseling, we believe it is our job to come alongside you in whatever difficult challenges of life you are in and help you rediscover hope and to find the strength that you have to face those challenges. We believe in people, specifically that no two people are alike and therefore they need solutions that are unique to them. We strive to create a safe and comfortable place for you to explore who you want to be and identify the obstacles standing in your way. Oftentimes, the first step toward finding help is the hardest, but it can also be the bravest. At MatthewsCounseling.net, we strive to help make the first step easy. There, you will find our blog with some great resources from our therapist. You'll also find a link to our client portal where you can schedule directly with our therapist at your convenience. We offer free 30-minute consultations, either in person or over the phone, so the first step is at no cost to you. Give us a call at 919-587-8018, or again, find us online at MatthewsCounseling.net. We look forward to working with you. We're back talking about sexual perfectionism and how it affects relationships. And Lori, I wanted to get your take on, there was a great study out of the University of Kent that actually explored all the dimensions of sexual perfectionism, right? And they found They found four different ways that that perfectionism comes out, right?
Okay.
And one is that it is self-oriented. The perfectionism is aimed at yourself and wanting to be the perfect sexual partner, right? And so you set high expectations for yourself, how you perform, how you look, all those different ways. And so the perfectionism is oriented to yourself and the standard that you set for yourself.
And I think this is one of the problems. If the sex life isn't going well, there's this fear, am I not a good sexual partner? I mean, this is what people are afraid of when they come to see me particularly, is I'm afraid to go see a sex therapist because what I'm going to hear from my partner is I'm a lousy lover.
Yeah.
You know, right. And so that delays them getting help by years sometimes.
Right. Or
right? This fear.
I think I say too is that they may go into a relationship feeling like that's the way that they are going to keep their partner, right? That they're going to keep their partner satisfied by being a great lover and happy. And so they end up setting a standard for themselves that they may not be able to meet at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The other way they found that it came out is in it's partner-oriented and wanting your partner to be perfect. So you're projecting onto your partner this expectation of where they should be and how good they should be in your sexual relationship.
You know, I hear this a lot. I hear it in men particularly when they talk about, you know, I want my wife to stay thin and in shape and I want her to be really adventurous. There was one guy I knew. I used to talk with him on the radio. You know, and he talked about this high pressure of telling his wife, you know, I want you to be thin, I want you to stay in shape, and I want to have sex 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And his compulsion about her standard of beauty, of what he felt her standard of beauty should be, I'm thinking, does she really want to sleep with him?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Who would
want
to
have
sex
a guy
that way?
Yeah. Who's watching every ounce you eat and, you know, tallying up how many times you've been to the gym that week, that level of micromanagement, and then you want to be free in bed with him, you know, forget about it.
I actually see more where they are imposing a standard of desire, that their desire should be at the same level and should match theirs, right? So they're projecting a standard of libido onto their partner, right?
And especially if a male is projecting it onto a female, saying, I want you to want it as much as I do.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, give me an injection of testosterone.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that I don't want him, right?
Right.
I don't want you. It's that he wants her to want sex. And this is a biological hormonal issue.
Yeah.
You know, if you want her to want sex, then get her to want you.
Yeah, the desire is a
desire
issue.
By deep connection and careful attention to her experience, certainly, but it's a different route.
Yeah, the third one they found is partner prescribed, right? So it's feeling that your partner expects you to be perfect. And this one, you know, your partner may not actually be intending to send this message, all right, but you feel like they are. You feel like they have an expectation on you that is really high. This was the one they actually found to be the most problematic, right? Mm-hmm. Caused the most anxiety, the lowest self-esteem, Well, it's the greatest.
It's the greatest distortion because it's not reality.
Yeah.
I mean, and I would say this on the other side of it: men who find women so beautiful, you know, with their imperfections, with whatever the extra 10 pounds is, and they're like, you know what? That's in her head. That is in not my, in my eyes. I think she's gorgeous. You know, I want to do her every day. And, you know, I mean, and, but you can't, he can't get through to her because it's her own internal distortion. And he's she's projected it onto him, saying he wants this from me. Therefore, he's setting a standard. And it's not true.
Yeah.
And that is really a twisted thing to try to get out of.
Yeah. It's hard to unravel, right?
Yeah.
Because like, they may or may not be sending that message. But you're definitely feeling that one way or another, and it has to do with your partner, but it also has to do with you individually, right? As well,
yeah.
Right?
It's a bind. It's right. Like when a woman asks a man, you know, do you think this dress makes me look fat? It's like, oh, buddy, you know, you can't win.
Answer.
So, you know, it's like, hey, baby, you look beautiful no matter what you're wearing,
right.
And especially when you're not wearing something, I think you look beautiful.
Right.
But it can be a real bind, and that's why I think that one's the worst.
Yeah, the last one is a socially prescribed perfectionism, feeling that society expects you to be perfect. All right, and this one is just, it is hard to escape because we live in a society that projects perfection in everything, in advertisements, on TV, and movies, in the way that we talk about sex and our ideas about sex, like, everything is at a stand. Very few people talk about the flaws and the time sex goes bad, right? And anytime you see it in a show, sex usually goes perfect.
And this has increased this pressure. This social pressure has increased for men as well as for women, don't you think?
I mean, absolutely.
The hot male model, you know, the six pack, somehow or another equating that he's really hot, therefore a better lover, you know, by his body shape. And I mean, I think there has always been pressure for women, but it's significantly increased for men.
Yeah, and I think
who get anxious. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that I think the other thing that happens is that we compare ourselves to the other people in our lives, right? And most of us are not going to talk about the time with our friends or the people that we look up to. We're not going to talk about the bad components of our sexual relationship.
Sure, and we're comparing ourselves to the media images.
Yeah.
We're also comparing ourselves to the Facebook, you know,
posts, the Instagram posts,
right? Yeah. This is a surface look at people's lives, and we say, oh, they've got it so great. Look at them. They're rich. They're happy. They're going on vacation all the time. You know, we have no idea, and they're only posting the shots that look good.
Yeah, I was talking to a couple a couple weeks ago, and they are really they have a big friend group, and they're always getting together with all the girls are getting together and all the guys are getting together. They're all married friends, and they're just talking about how they only talk about how much everybody is having sex. How, you know, when they talk about their sex lives, especially the guys are always talking about
how much they're
getting it and how good it is, right? Or the women, or they're complaining, or vice versa, they're complaining about how much they're not, right? And so there's this image that this perfectionist sustainer that if it's good, if your relationship is good, you're having sex at this frequency, this often, this, you know, this desire level, all these kind of stuff that you're comparing yourself to what's going on around you. And that is just a killer of joy all the time, right? Comparison is just, that's what it causes.
What pressure,
right?
For that group of people, you know.
Yeah.
To try to live up to.
Oh, absolutely. But so one of the things that the study found this creates, and we can talk about this for a second, is it creates this, what they're calling spectatoring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they feel as though they're watching themselves have sex. They spend the entire time concerned about their performance, right? And this creates so much anxiety and stress, right?
This is the hover over the bed, watching myself, judging myself if I'm any good or if I'm getting aroused or is it going to happen tonight, right? It's that's the spectering.
Well, yeah.
Spectating. Whoops.
Spectatoring.
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 Not the spectering. That's when I'm dead hovering above the bed.
Yes. Also not spelunking either. Not spelunking. That's a whole lot different
thing. Okay, good.
But you can probably speak to this because one of the things is that anxiety, particularly for women, works against the process of arousal.
Right. And for men.
And for men, too.
Yeah, ED, PE, you know, it works against it in both ways, actually.
Yeah, and because the anxiety has to go down for arousal to go up.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so that's so it becomes a big problem.
Anxiety has to go down for the penis to come up as well. Truly. Too much anxiety, ED. Oh, and the other way, like I said as well, too much anxiety, PE. It's just
right.
Just but depends. Is it,
yeah.
But for women, too much anxiety, no bigo. Just doing all the acronyms.
Let's do all the acronyms. All right. So cool. So what would you say? How do we defeat perfectionism, sexual perfectionism?
You know, I think it's growing up. We have to accept that in maturity, we have flaws. We have to accept ourselves as human. Mm. You know, our bodies as human, our experience as human. We have to reduce the standard. Like I said, naked time is good time.
Yeah. And failure is a part of life. I think that's a growing up thing, too. That's a concept. And even in your sexual relationship.
Yeah, and quite honestly, personally, I have never felt like we've failed.
Yeah.
I just have never, ever felt that. Mm. I have always felt like to be together is a great moment.
Right.
It's a great moment. I don't judge it in the way of, like, was that a super moment? I mean, sure, sometimes it's out of the park, and that's fantastic. But I never think about, you know, if we have a moment together, an intimate moment, that somehow or another that's a bad thing. That's a great thing.
Yeah, so you're taking failure off the table, period.
Absolutely.
Right. It doesn't exist.
It doesn't even exist. Never even thought about it.
Yeah.
That's not how I think about sex.
Okay. I think the other thing they can do is you have to maybe identify those perfectionistic thoughts that you've had and challenge them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you have to notice. You have to begin to doubt that they are real,
yeah.
Right?
Like, people really have spectacular sex
all the time?
Most of the time, even.
Yeah, most of the time. That's right.
You know?
Right.
No,
Do they really swing from chandeliers?
Yeah.
No, they probably don't.
They don't.
Right. You have to introduce some doubts into the thoughts that are keeping you hostage and go, this is not the way that it really is. You know, real people don't act this way.
Right. And you have to take away the idea that you know what turns your partner on, or maybe ask them.
Yeah.
How do you feel desired?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, is it my big erection that turns you on, or is it the kindness that I've shown you when I listen to you at the end of the day?
Yeah. Well, it's like the guy you were talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, orgasm was not the ultimate for her. That was
it really
not
wasn't.
That wasn't perfect sex. So you have to change what your partner feels like is good and come up with a better definition of that. And I think I think perfectionism keeps us from actually talking about things that we like or we don't like, right? And so I think that has to be something, when we get around perfectionism to defeat it, we have to be honest about those things and talk about the ways that sex works for us, right? And what we consider a win, right? If you, mm-hmm. I mean, you and your husband, you know, what you're saying is naked time is good time,
mm-hmm.
right? When that's the standard. I know people, when we talk about lowering expectations, I think people often get confused about that, right? Because they feel like you're settling when you're doing that. And I would just challenge that I don't think that is what you're doing. You're not saying that it can't be great, but when you hold everything as having to hit this high mark and don't bring that expectation down to something that is achievable, then you're setting yourself up for failure almost every time.
And absolutely.
You don't hit that high, right? You're never going to hit that high when the high is the only thing that can happen.
Yeah, perfectionism is the enemy of the good, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you're listening to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with your sex therapist, Lori Watson, and Dr. Adam Matthews. Thank you so much for those of you who have signed up for Patreon. We're going to do a webinar soon. I think it's a $10 sponsor. We're going to bring that up and let you know the dates. We will contact you, but we so appreciate you, and you're listening to 4Play. Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor.